Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Comic Book Legion podcast. I am your host, Clay, and Mark's not here. The only reason why Mark is not here is he is unfortunately out of commission due to some poison ivy. I have never had poison ivy before, but from what he tells me, it is not very good. He unfortunately couldn't make it today, so we are going to run one of my own personal episodes of the Fanboy Comics podcast. Now, if you do enjoy what you liked and would like to find out more of those kind of episodes, I do have my own show called the Fanboy Comics podcast that you can find anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Now, Mark should be back next week, hopefully. It all depends on the medication that he's taking, because I know it does make him nauseous. But hopefully everything will be back to normal. Next week, we do have things like the Catwoman anniversary. We have deceased World at Hope's End, or Hope at World's End. I got those upside down or backwards or whatever. But yeah, we have some really good books next week, so hopefully we can go back to our normal schedules and record that for you guys. But this episode that I'm about to play is part two of my Marvel event portion of the podcast that I do every single month. I have a four-week schedule, and on this rotation was the Marvel events. So we're going to be talking about Civil War, Siege, and Marvel versus X-Men. And then I put some random DC books at the very end, because I love to talk about both Marvel and DC over there. So, here we go. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Fanboy Comics Podcast, the podcast that goes all the way back to the classics of the Marvel Unlimited app, the DC Universe app, and of course the Shonen Jump app. Now today specifically, we are going to be doing the Thursday show, which means we're going to be going backwards in time, the throwback Thursdays of the events. Now, of course, this isn't every Thursday because I have made a schedule. Of course, last week we did the original stuff that we stuck to when the show first started, the Nightwing, the Justice League, the Daredevil, the Avenging Spider-Man. Of course, this week, though, the second week of the month is going to stick with the events, and that's mainly because mainly Marvel, really, because in the DC realm, where you're doing Batgirl, New Guardians, Green Lantern, and, of course, Static Shock. Now, the reason why I'm wanting to stick with the Marvel events is because I'm not very familiar with them. I remember reading Civil War a long time ago, but I only read the main story. Here, we're going to do it in its entirety. From start to finish, the road to Civil War, of course, starts with the Amazing Spider-Man stuff, which we're going to be talking about now. Then we're going to do Siege, and then, of course, the Avengers versus X-Men. Now, this stuff, I was a little disappointed in the Siege portion of this week, but I really did like the Amazing Spider-Man stuff, and the Avengers vs. X-Men is still a little slow, I will admit. It's a little bit slow, but I'm hoping that it catches up a little bit more, and, you know, that I know I will enjoy the main story, but I want to see the background. I want to know these things. I want to know a little bit more about these characters, because I know a lot about the DC characters. You know, you ask me anything, and I can almost guarantee an answer for you. Marvel, it's very hard for me, so I want to get familiar with these characters and their backstory and the relationships that they have with certain characters. So that's why I really love diving deep into the Marvel Unlimited app like this, and not just saying, hey, I want to read this three-story arc, okay, let's move to the next one. I really want to know where the relationship with Tony and Parker here in Civil War, I want to see how that grows or how it, you know, dispersed. I don't know how this necessarily goes since it's been so long since I've read Civil War. So let's go ahead and jump into the first book of the night, which is going to be Amazing Spider-Man number 530. All right, The Road to Civil War, Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 530. Now, of course, in 529, Tony and Peter were talking about how they were about to go to Washington, and there wasn't a whole lot of insight. There was a blood pact between the two. You know, Parker has a lot of respect for Tony. He technically works for Tony right now, but, you know, at that point, Tony actually gave him a new suit. Here, they are on their way to Washington. He shows him this Superhero Registration Act. Parker reads it. You know, he gets the gist of it, basically, because Tony really, you know, tells it to him. But he's going to get more details on it when they actually go into the hearing for the preliminary hearings for this Registration Act. But before that, Tony actually gave an update, you know, a 2.0 version of the Spider-Man suit less than 24 hours after he gave Parker the original. And it's pretty cool because this very special type of material that is made of the Spider-Man suit, it can actually have like an invisible mode, so it doesn't even look like he is wearing it. But also, it can change like the color or the aesthetic of the suit can change. So he doesn't necessarily need to have the Iron Spider on. He can have the original Spider-Man suit. And it even shows his Venom suit, the black suit, which I thought was pretty cool. And then he learns about the spider arms or whatever. And you learn that there is somebody who is kind of eyeing the two of them, Tony and Parker, on their way to this court case or this hearing. Now, of course, the hearing is mainly just saying, hey, this is why we need this Registration Act. They're giving the details. They're saying, hey, the first heroes established themselves back in like the 1940s with Captain America, the Human Torch, Namor, you know, all those guys. And the basically when Tony kind of opens his mouth about how like, hey, you know, you're right. We have the United States has spent billions of dollars in construction and all of that because of what we have done as heroes trying to save the world, but we have saved the world, you know, this many times. So, and they do a little bit of math, they do a little political banter, you know, because when it comes to the government, when it comes to these kinds of things, money is always the forefront. It's either we're going to spend a whole lot of money on you, or we're going to save a whole lot of money, and that's where we're going to do it. And the officials, the government officials, make a good point. They say, hey, if you want to be a lawyer, you have to pass the bar exam. If you want to be a doctor, you need to get a PhD. If you want to, you know, be, you know, all these different things, then you need to get certification for it. Why doesn't any heroes need that certification? And Parker, you know, he's sitting in on this. He raises his hands and he says, hey, you know, these heroes, they are heroes, you know, in the public eye, but to most of them, they're also just regular people So they have, you know, families to look after. They have all these different things. And if they were out in the public, they would, you know, be hurt by that a lot. You know, they would be endangered because of these villains. And the government official says, well, police officers, prosecutors, judges, even elected officials all put their families on the line when they are, you know, protecting basically their city, their world, whatever. And in the end, basically, Parker's like, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. I think I kind of proved why we need this thing. I'm so sorry. And Tony was like, hey, what time is it? And Parker says, it is, he says 10:35. And he said, that's the wrong answer. But I have the clock right here. He's like, yes, but it's still the wrong answer. Do you know what time it is? And he says, all you have to say is, to the question, what time, do you know the time? You should always just say yes. Don't overshare, because then you're giving more information than you need to. Now, my wife says, I have a problem with this, and I kind of do. But I kind of see where he is going. Because at this point, you know, Parker could have said, like, I agree on some extent, and that's it. And he didn't have to give all of that extra sharing to basically give all your cards, or show all your cards to the dealer, basically. So, you know, he called Mary Jane to kind of ease his mind. He's like, hey, how y'all doing? How's Aunt May? Blah, blah, blah. And he gets a quick, like a very quick glimpse of his spider sense. He's like, oh, maybe it's nothing. Maybe I'm just, you know, my head's kind of boggling here. And, you know, they go back into the hearing and, you know, Tony is saying that if, he says, this act, if passed, would turn men and women who have served this country as patriots but refuse to register into criminals. So, basically saying, I'm trying to see if there was a actual example on this. Oh, right here, he says, and while there are still problems to be solved, the system of anonymous powered individuals serving their country has worked well for over 60 years. Changing that system now would only create a new and possibly more dangerous series of problems. Prohibition not only ushered in the age of organized crime, it turned the ordinary citizen into lawbreakers overnight. So that's the example that he gave, was prohibition. So in that sense, think of it as, you know, maybe Iron Man is a go for this, you know, Registration Act. We kind of already know about this because of people who may not have read the book, but maybe watched the movie of Marvel's, you know, Captain America Civil War. So Captain America, Bucky, all of them, they were against the act. But they are heroes. People saw them as heroes in their eyes. But they quickly became criminals because they wouldn't sign this act. See, this is where the water gets a little murky. I really enjoy these types of stories because somebody that we absolutely adore, somebody who we see as heroes in the limelight, could very quickly become bad guys, quote-unquote, because they don't think it's right that the government should be, you know, have their grip on everything. But we'll get more into that as soon as we actually get down to the dirty stuff in the actual main series of Civil War. So, they get out of the hearing, there's a mob of freaking press there, asking all their questions about this Registration Act, or rumored Registration Act, because it's not necessarily something that the public knows. And Tony is like, hey, you know, we have somewhere to be, I can't comment too much, and, you know, we will see what happens. But Parker quickly gets a spider-tingling spider sense, and the Titanium Man is the one that is, you know, trying to assassinate Tony and Parker. So, Parker is quickly able to disorient Titanium Man, run off, and turn into the Iron Spider. And when he is fighting the Titanium Man, the U.S. Army, who was already there kind of just, because they are in Washington, they were just on patrol, whatever, they actually fired upon both Spider-Man and Titanium Man. So, it is interesting to see some of these things already starting to spill out. Now, that is the end of 5:30. We will go into our next book, being Dark Reign, The Cabal. And this is just a one-shot. But let's go ahead and jump off into there. Now, I will say, talk about some disappointment here. Siege was something that I remember because of one cover, legitimately. The only cover I remember, there was a really cool Siege cover with Spider-Man and Venom. And I kind of wanted to read this story to finally get to that point. I don't remember the actual comic, I just remember the cover. And I was hoping that this book, this series, this event would kind of get going. Now, like the comic or the series Civil War, we kind of already start to see some stuff spilling into that with 5:30, like I said before. Here it just feels like it's going to be taking a while. Now, of course, we do have the newer Avengers, not the new Avengers, but the newer Avengers, that being the Dark Avengers with Norman Osborn, Bullseye, Daken, everybody, Sentry, Venom, all these people. And I will say, I did not care for this book at all. The first little story is with Namor and Doom talking to Norman and the newer Avengers, these Dark Avengers, and basically they portraying him, and it looks like Namor kills freaking Norman Osborn. But I don't know if that's actually happened, like, because of how confusing this is. Then it shows a small little story about Emma Frost and how she became a part of the this cabal with Norman Osborn, the Hood, Loki, Dr. Doom, Namor, and of course her. Then there's a small story about the Hood that I did not care for, just basically him, a little bit of background on him and how he has a, I don't know if it's necessarily his wife or a girlfriend or whatnot, but they have a kid together, and, you know, basically his driver finds this out when he didn't necessarily want anybody in his gang, club, villainy, whatever, he didn't want them to know that he was actually a family man. Now, I will say, I do kind of like that. It kind of shows that he is somebody who still cares about his family, somewhat of like a kingpin, but I didn't really care for it. I thought it was pretty gangster that he freaking shot his freaking driver right in the back of the head. And the entire story kind of takes place in a flashback and during a funeral. And it sounds like, you know, this person that they're talking about, or that the Hood is talking about, you know, he's like, oh, somebody shot this man. He is basically making it sound like somebody else has attacked their quote-unquote family. But, of course, it was, in fact, him. That's the reveal at the very end. Then, of course, there is a story of Namor, and there is some sort of family dispute over custody of a child. And, of course, Namor is king of Atlantis, and so he kind of... It basically got up the ranks to finally come up to him about this whole situation. And this young child, or whatever, he is now grown, but it seems that he has some sort of power. And Namor basically says, well, you know, since I am king, my word is final. And I say he is going to be under my rule until, you know, he is set. Because this child cannot control his powers, and Namor basically wants to use him. Then the last story is of Loki. Now, in this story, I did not know Loki is a female. And, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that he is, you know, just a female. They explain it here that Loki can change his form no matter what. And so it's really weird that they would make the comment, oh, well, why do you want to be seen as a woman now? Loki doesn't necessarily see it that way. And, of course, this was a trick from Doom the entire time, them being in this room, trying to see if it was actually Loki. I'm guessing sometime before this, Loki was actually dead, and now he has come back, or she has come back, like this. Now, they do meet up at the very end to basically form a alliance to quite possibly take over whatever Norman Osborn has planned. And, like I said, wasn't all that great. It was all right. It wasn't crazy. I don't know. I think there is another one-shot called the Green Goblin Legacy. Hopefully that's something a little bit better for the next episode of that, which would be next month. But who knows? Who knows? But our next book is going to be Avengers X Sanction number 1. Avengers X Sanction number 1. This, I enjoyed the art. I really love McGinnis, of course. I loved him from the start, from when I read Superman, Batman, like when I was a little kid. But this here, I really love the art. The story, it's interesting. I really love that I'm getting a little bit more of Cable. And it's starting to look like Cable is the main reason why the Avengers and X-Men will start to fight. I kind of like that. Cable has a lot of motivation. His motivation being his daughter. And now, exactly how he is the daughter of Hope, or he, how she is the daughter of him. Sorry, that sounded weird. But I don't even know if... he keeps saying my daughter, but I believe she, I don't know if she ever calls him dad. That's the one thing that always confused me. But, because at some point I also thought that, like, Hope was also related to Jean Grey and Scott Summers, like, directly. I thought she was their daughter. I don't know. X-Men timeline is weird, and if I'm wrong, please tell me. I would like to know. But, basically, the Avengers are called out because of the... Who are these people called? These people are called the Lethal Legion. It's a whole bunch of villains, and it's really cool because we kind of get a roll call of the Avengers on the very first page. We see Spider-Man, Wolverine, Red Hulk, Iron Man, Falcon, and Captain America. Now, I really love the small little splash page up in the front with them fighting the Legion. And, you know, there's a little back and forth between Falcon and Captain America where it's a little odd because at this point, with me having the experience with these characters in movies, we see a really good relationship between Captain America and Falcon. Here, it kind of feels like Captain America is a little bit more stern with Falcon. And, I don't know, I just felt a little, I guess a little bit of tension. If somebody can give me some background on that, that would be awesome. But, we do know that Cable is watching all of this go down. And, it's really, really cool, because it doesn't necessarily tell you in narration or anything else. But, if you notice, as soon as there's lightning, you see the flash of Cable's sniper, and it hits Falcon. Nobody can hear it because of the lightning. Of course, whenever you see lightning, there is always thunder. And I thought that was a very cool, subtle thing that they put here. Because everybody else is distracted by fighting the Lethal Legion, Falcon is the highest up. And of course, Cable took his shot. I thought that was really, really cool. A small little thing, but I thought it was really cool. Now, we do see that Falcon is being taken by Cable, and we see a little bit more of Cable's background. We see that his, the virus, I forgot what they call it, the metal virus, basically, it's what is making Cable's arm metallic and eventually his entire body. And, Captain America actually notices that, what's the name of the Falcon, the legit Falcon? Is it like Red Wing or Bird or whatever? Red Wing, sorry. So Captain America actually follows Red Wing all the way to, the shipyard where Captain America finds Falcon, like, all in this, like, tube thing. It kind of reminds me of Star Wars, where Luke kind of was healing his body after, almost being eaten on freaking, oh my god, I completely blanked on all of Star Wars stuff. Anyway, that's embarrassing. I am apparently not a good enough freaking Star Wars fan. That's hilarious. But you see, as soon as he finds Falcon, freaking Cable is there, puts a gun to Captain America's head, and he basically says that he is going to kill all of the Avengers. And that's basically what you get from the flashbacks here, I believe. Am I getting ahead of myself? I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I am getting ahead of myself. Because I will say this. Yeah, it says here. At the very end. Okay, yeah. So, there is a really cool back and forth fighting between Cable and Captain America. We see some really cool moves with the shield, and eventually Cable gets his hands on it and fights with it as well. Like I said, McGinnis's art is awesome. I absolutely love it. But the one thing that I always thought would always happen to Captain America with the shield, it actually happened here. When Cable threw the shield, it actually got stuck in the wall, and Captain America kind of is relying too much on the shield and attempted to run after it and pull it out of the wall, gave Cable a chance for an opening to attack, and knocked his ass out. And of course, this is where we get the flashback where basically he is talking to, I guess, another mutant in the future, because there is these really cool where it actually tells you the timelines in the narration boxes. It'll say, this one in particular says, time slide the far future. And then it says time slide now whenever it goes into the present. But basically, it reveals that the Avengers have something to do with this whole thing with his daughter and him with his virus. So he wants to, put an end to it. And at the very end, he puts the gun up to Captain America's head, and then all you see is one long panel saying blam, basically shooting him in the head, and it says to be continued. I really enjoyed this. Of course, this is Jeff Loeb that is writing. I really love the dialogue to this. It's absolutely amazing. Really gives you some insight on how Cable is actually pretty freaking insane. But I like it. I absolutely love it. Blah, blah, blah. Two words into one. But absolutely love it. I love the colors on this as well. I hope this whole thing with the Avengers and X-Men. Of course, right here, Spider-Man and Wolverine are in the Avengers. I always thought that Spider-Man personally was sort of a mutant as well, and I'm pretty sure they play upon that in the Ultimate Universe. And I want to see how Wolverine, being an Avenger, will react to Cable and his, motivations. So, that was fun. I really enjoyed these books, so much so that I actually read a little bit ahead, not too far, just one issue. But we will get to that next month. But let's go ahead and move on to the DC portion of this episode. Hey guys, real quick, before we actually go into the DC portion of this podcast, I just want to say thank you for listening to the podcast. And if you could, please press that subscribe button, as well as please sharing the episode. Go ahead and share with all of your Marvel friends, all of your DC friends, and let them know about these Shonen Jump episodes we have every Saturday. Please, I would love to have some sort of community to help me understand some of these books that I'm just jumping into, so that way I have a little bit more insight. I can read all that I can read, but if I want to read these stories that I absolutely want to read and love and enjoy, I know that a lot of these books have a lot of background that I can't necessarily just jump into right now. There's a lot of books that I want to get to instead. So if you could, please give me some insight on that as well. Of course, you can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, and of course, I have an email. The email is fanboycomicspodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can find me personally on Instagram and Twitter at fanboyclay. And if you search Fanboy Comics Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram, you can easily find me as well. But let's go ahead and jump into the DC Comics. Alright, the DC Comics, my bread and butter. Now, of course, we are talking about Batgirl, Green Lantern, New Guardians, and Static Shock. Of course, all three of these books were a part of the relaunch of the New 52. We are on, I think, issue 2? Yeah, issue 2 of each one of these. Now, I really enjoyed every single one of these. Let's go ahead and jump into Batgirl number 2 first. Now, of course, we did leave off with Batgirl being aimed at by this new villain. I believe his name is Mirror. And he was pointing the gun. It actually gave Batgirl a little bit of PTSD. It made her freeze. And because of that, there was actually a person in a hospital bed that Mirror wanted to go after anyway. And he was able to throw him out the window. Of course, at that point, this detective called Batgirl a murderer because of it, and you know, that's where we left off. Here we see that we're still in the hospital. Mirror actually runs off, Batgirl follows him, and there is a really cool chase sequence in the rain. I absolutely love it. I love the art in this book, very visually pleasing. And at this point, what ends up happening is, because Mirror is not paying attention, he thinks that he can get the getaway on Batgirl. Batgirl actually has a little bit on her side as far as surprise. She kicks Mirror at a point of being too fast and knocks both of them down. They're about to fall, but Batgirl is actually going to save him. And because he has this kink about how people should die the way they're supposed to die. And in that meaning that if you, let's say I fall, you know, I think they actually give the example here, at the end of the book, but let's not get to that. Let's actually just random scenario. I end up being the sole survivor in a plane crash. Mirror would then find a way to put me in a plane and make sure the plane crashes so that way I can die in a plane. And I believe this plays off of his origin story, which we do get here at the very end of the book. But because of this, if you remember in the very first issue, Batgirl actually almost fell to her death, but the people that she actually saved in their apartment, they actually came out of the window of the balcony or whatever and saved her. Mirror thinks that Batgirl should die from that. There was a lot of witnesses, so they actually put it out in the paper or whatever. So, at this point, Mirror actually tosses her over the side, and Batgirl is falling. But quick thinking, she gets her grappling hook and slams into the side of a taxi. There's this woman that gets out, very upset. And, you know, basically tells, you know, Batgirl to go to Metropolis to fight Larry Luthor, which I thought was pretty funny. But we get a small glimpse of the detectives as well as Gordon in the hospital. And this detective actually tells Gordon, hey, Batgirl, she is back. And Gordon actually looks very surprised. This was very intriguing to me because, of course, we all know Batgirl is Barbara Gordon, who was the daughter of Jim Gordon, who is the commissioner right here. Now, the reason why he is so surprised, I personally think that Gordon knows that Batgirl is his daughter. Now, I don't know if that is true because I actually stopped reading Batgirl New 52 at issue 3 or 4, to be completely honest, back in the day, back in like 2011. So I will be surprised if this isn't the case. But he looks very surprised to know that Batgirl is back in town. So I would not be surprised. It's because he is looking out for the safety of his daughter, of course. Now, the trajectory of where Mera was heading, Batgirl thinks that he is heading towards this cemetery, which he is. And he kind of already knows that she's there. And there is a little bit of a tussle. And it's really funny because she very much notices that he is out of her weight class. And, you know, she uses a little bit of her brain to be like, okay, I know that I can't, you know, I can't go mano-a-mano with this guy. So I need to use my brain. I need to use my smarts to defeat this guy. And she acts like she's going to, like, tackle him. But he does not budge whatsoever. And he throws her, basically, pretty far in this cemetery. But she reveals that she actually was able to pickpocket the list that he has for the people that he's wanting to kill. And he actually gets very, like, upset about this. And stops attacking and just grabs the list and then runs off. Of course, Batgirl was very relieved at this point because she was pretty beat up. Now, here, she goes back to the apartment. She can't remember how she got back into her own clothes, let alone the vehicle that she was in. And she gets back to her apartment. Her new roommate actually patches her up. And she thinks that, you know, Barbara is involved with a really bad boyfriend, you know, beating her up and whatnot. And Barbara says that she wants to say something, but she can't. And this new roommate is like, hey, I get it. But I will not stand for this if it ends up being a boyfriend. So, you know, they leave each other the way they are. And Barbara goes to this this date with this individual. And they kind of talk about, you know, her past and how she's trying to cope with now being able to use her legs when she wasn't able to for so long, of course, due to the incident in The Killing Joke. And it kind of plays a little bit of, you know, the psyche of Barbara, which I really do like. I really do enjoy that Gail Simone put that in here because it should be something that she ponders about, something that is going to be on Barbara's mind for majority of this whole thing. So I really do enjoy that. Also, I really enjoy Gail Simone's brain whenever it comes to Barbara's brain. The detective side of Barbara is really, really cool. It shows that she did pick up a thing or two from both her father as well as Bruce. And she does do a little bit of digging to find out who this Mera guy is. She does find out that there was because Mera did say something about a fire and during their fight. And so she did a little bit of digging on that and find out who it was. She went into the apartment, found out that he had an arsenal of different weapons, and also Mera knew that she would eventually find him. So that there was a monitor, they started talking, and Mera does actually talk about his origin story, about how he was in a crash with his family, and his daughter and wife actually were in the car, and they burned and died. And it was really morbid because at that time when the crash actually happened, this guy, Mera, actually wanted to go back into the car and burn with them. He says, no, let me go, let me go, let me burn with them. Really morbid stuff. But he does say that the person who was involved with that car crash, not involved. It says here, after you get the origin story, it says here, the man on the left, Rupert Ansell, collapsed due to diabetic complications on the train tracks of the station. This is the example I was going to give, but I remembered it was because of this story, so I wanted to wait until now. So this man falls into the train tracks, and another civilian actually jumped down and saved him basically at the nick of time, and they both survived. And basically, Mera is saying, hey, I'm going to kill him, and he's on this train, so go get him. See if you can do it, because I don't think you can. And that is the end of issue number 2. Next issue is going to be Nightwing, which that's going to be fun. I think it plays a little bit on the romance between the two. I really did enjoy this issue too. It gave a little bit of insight, of course, on Mirror and some of the struggles that Barbara still has as a civilian herself. And I think it is going to really mesh together really well with these two characters, and I really loved it. Now, I can't remember when Gail actually stopped writing Batgirl, but I will enjoy this for as long as Gail is on the actual story. And I think this has a complete 52 issues. So I will hopefully be able to go through all of this really with a, you know, with a more positive side. But I do know that I think Gail eventually got off the book. But let's go ahead and jump into Green Lantern, The New Guardians, number 2. This is the very last thing I remember about the story of Green Lantern, New Guardians. I think this was actually the last book that I actually read back in 2011. Of course, I did try to attempt to read everything back in the New 52, and then I realized, holy shit, comics are expensive. Especially when you try to collect as much as I attempted to, that being 52 titles every single month, 52 times $3.99, $2.99, however much it was back in the day, that's a lot of freaking bread. But I really enjoyed this just because of the very end, and we will get to that eventually. But we've, of course, left off where Kyle Rayner was surrounded by all of these different colored rings, and of course, a member from each one of those cores actually came to Earth to confront Kyle about why this was happening. There is a little bit of a confrontation between these lanterns and Kyle, and I really love the interactions because, of course, Bleez, we get to learn immediately that she spews blood out of her mouth and that it's almost like acid, so Kyle has to get a construct to basically get the blood to go in up into the air or go whatever. I really like that this writer, Tony Bedard, sorry. This is very much a new reader friendly title. This is very, or at least this issue is, because you get to learn a little bit more about these individual lanterns on the different spectrums. We see Arkillo. Of course, Arkillo's tongue is actually ripped out. And the ring speaks for him, and basically the first interaction with Arkillo tells you that the ring actually tells you about his tongue, which I think is also cool. But Arkillo actually attempts to grab the yellow ring, and it immediately shocks him. So I thought that was very interesting that these people cannot even touch the rings that Kyle has in his possession technically. I think this woman, I forgot what her name, I always thought it was Carol Danvers, that is freaking Marvel, that is hilarious. No, Carol Ferris. I thought this was Carol Ferris, but I was actually wrong, because her name is actually called Fatality, but she is a part of the Star Sapphires, and Fatality actually freezes basically Bleez and even Kyle. But the ring of Kyle is actually going up in its percentage. It is going from 89 to 90 to 92, and then it eventually hits like 100, 110, 116. And Kyle says, oh, well, if that's happening, that can only mean one thing. And then freaking St. Walker, the Blue Lantern, comes down, and he is wanting peacefully to know what's going on about the rings, unlike everybody else who is really quick to attack Kyle. And I really love this because this is something that you learned pre-New 52, that the blue ring and the green ring actually go hand in hand, with the blue ring actually helping the green. So without hope, there is no will, basically. And I thought that was really cool, the way that that Geoff Johns wrote it in continuity, how these rings actually interact with each other. I thought that was really, really cool. Kyle actually gets him and St. Walker out of Earth's atmosphere as quickly as possible, and they are on their way to Oa. And then, of course, the rest of the Lanterns of the different spectrums decide, hey, I think they're going to Oa to talk to their little green friends, or their little blue friends, sorry, so let's go and attack Oa. Now, there is a ban on Oa for any non-Green Lanterns. So Kyle says, hey, St. Walker, wait out here. Let me go in there. Let me see what's going on. And then maybe we can, you know, peacefully talk to the Guardians and see, you know, maybe there's a good explanation for all of this craziness. Kyle goes into the Citadel, where, of course, there is Salek? Is that his name? I think that's Salek. Let's see here. I don't remember his freaking name. I think it's Salek. But he is the one that is basically at the front desk of the Citadel. And yeah, Salek. S-A-L-A-A-K. And he's telling Kyle, hey, you can't go in there right now. They're doing something. And Kyle's like, I don't give a damn. Like, do you not see all these rings? Like, there is something wrong and we need to figure this out. Of course, the Guardians hear all the commotion. They come out. They're like, hey, it's okay. Stand aside. We're gonna figure everything out. And Kyle goes directly to Ganthet and tries to figure out, hey, you know, what is going on with me? And Ganthet, he is kind of like very monotone. He has no expression on his face. And Kyle finds out because the Guardians tell him, oh, well, Ganthet wasn't really acting like a Guardian anymore, so we took away his emotions. And I was really surprised by this back in 2011. I remembered this, and as I was reading it here, I started to remember, I was like, oh, this is what's going to happen. So Kyle is very upset about this. It is the one thing that made Ganthet very special when coming to the Guardians and the relationship to the Lanterns. Ganthet was usually on the side of everybody who came to see the Guardians, and I don't think the Guardians liked that very much, because Ganthet actually had a mind of his own. And they quickly start to get very nervous of Kyle and his, you know, anger, and so they decide to attack him. And quickly, even Kyle says, I didn't want this, I didn't want this at all. And the very last page is so freaking awesome. He puts all of the rings on, and he becomes basically the White Ranger. It's not necessarily white, it doesn't look white, it looks more of a grayish color, but it's really, really cool. He has like this really cool like chest plate shield thing that has all of the Lantern Spectrum symbols on it, and it just looks really badass. This is the last thing I remember from the actual series, and I'm really looking forward to see what's coming up next. It says here, next, the Guardians versus the New Guardians. So I'm sure those other Lanterns will show up, and there will be a little bit of a fight. But I really did enjoy this. I love the fact that that Kyle really does care about Ganthet. Of course, like I said, Ganthet was somebody who was always on the side of the Lanterns, and I really do hope that he eventually gets better. I haven't read Green Lantern, a solo series, in a very long time, so I don't know how Ganthet is in Rebirth, now in the DC Universe type of titles. But I'm really, I'm really looking forward to see how this goes down. But let's go ahead and jump into our last book of the night, that being Static Shock number 2. You know, I was kind of wondering why these books have been kind of like really quick reads, but I just now noticed each of these books are only 20 pages, and that is counting the cover. So really, it is only about 19 or 18 pages, depending on the advertisement in the very beginning. But I will say this book in particular, Static Shock number 2, or even Static Shock as a whole, I will say that I wasn't very impressed by this book, this issue in particular. Of course, there is the cliffhanger that happened at the very end of issue number 1 with Virgil's arm being severed completely off. But basically, without necessarily really explaining how it happened, the basically his powers were able to bring it back together. And they didn't elaborate very well on it. So that I was really disappointed on. And, you know, it goes kind of deeper into I forgot what they're called, this gang that is trying to take down Static Shock for all of these higher up people, this more organized group of individuals. And I will say, it didn't really get me at all. We see a little bit of insight of, oh my gosh, there it is. So if you hear that, I just got a text from a good friend of mine who is actually my co-host from the Batman News Weekly. I'll go ahead and leave it in there. For some reason, these stupid people, from San Antonio, the Air Force, is doing this, what do they call it? They call it the America Strong Flight Path. I don't know what exactly. It's the Thunderbirds, so it is the Air Force. But it's called Tomorrow's America Strong Flyover. So I don't necessarily know what in the world is going on, but it is making people gather in large groups to watch this, even though they said not to. The entire event makes it sound like you should gather to watch these things. And it's so dumb. It is so dumb. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and they did this. It says, hey, you should watch this from the comfort of your own home. But people aren't going to listen to that. They want to, you know, they want to get out. Don't give them a reason to go out. So they should have never done this. If you want to do this, you should have just said, hey, we're going to be airing a TV special on this channel at this time. Watch it at home. Boom. Just like that. If people want to go outside to get fresh air, they can go in their backyard. But they should know that all automatically. Anyway, my rant is over. Let's go back to Static Shock number 2. Now, I will say this is very, very wordy. This was very wordy, and I don't know if it's because of the way the tablet puts it, or if it was like this when the actual book was out physically, but especially the computer wording when it's talking to Virgil about his analysis of his arm, it looks very squished together, very hard to read, and also just Virgil basically word vomiting for like a whole entire page of this woman that he knew of back in Dakota. Like, it's a lot of reading, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but this part of the story I did not bother with. Like, I did read it, but it didn't get me anything, like, special out of the book. I know I'm probably like, oh, I want to know more about her. I really don't, honestly. It keeps talking about how he was so he continues to want to be back in Dakota and not in New York. If that's the case, the writer should have told the story in Dakota and not New York, you know? I think that was a very big hindrance on this title in particular, because, you know, I think it only ended up being 8 issues or whatnot. But we do get a little bit of more story on his sisters, or I didn't know this, he only has one sister, and somewhere before the New 52 or whatever, I'm not entirely sure, or this was possibly something that they were going to elaborate on earlier, or later, sorry, but never got to because it got canceled. His sister has a doppelganger, sorry, and they basically, like, it's a clone, but they don't know which one is the real one, so they have them both staying with the family, which is weird. And apparently they both had the same nightmare last night, and it's just so weird. It's so weird. We see Virgil in high school. He gets a little bit of insight on this new gang because he notices somebody at high school having a tattoo that looks exactly like the symbols that were on this gang's bicycles or whatever. Or on the person who shot him, I think. But, you know, later that night, it immediately jumps to night, and Virgil almost takes all of these guys out. But this person, who is it? It is, gosh, who is the villain here? It is Viral. Viral ends up getting a hold of Virgil and is about to kill him. And that's how it ends. This, like, I want to last 8 issues. I really do. I want to last 8 issues so that way I can just be done with it and possibly go into another New 52 story. But, man, this is rough. This is rough. And I really did enjoy the Static Shock TV show, or the animated show. And I would hope that Static Shock can be somewhere in the DC universe as far as the main continuity now. But it's hard to really see him being anywhere after a book like this. So I completely understand where DC is coming from. But I would really like to know if somebody out there has a story for Static Shock. A really good story. Anyway. But that will be it for today's episode. Of course, I will see you guys tomorrow and on Saturday. So be on the lookout for those. And you guys have a great week. Fight the criminal, chase the bad guys. Save the world, fly the sky. Have kid, I'm amazing. Okay, stash shot, come face it. Yeah, 1-0, then you zap. You see, get trapped. In my eyes, I got the power. Feelings from the static shower. Superhero, static shot. Superhero, static shot. Criminals, get twisted. It's superhero gifted. Bell ring, back in school. Nobody know what I do. Okay, superhero, static shot. Superhero, static shot. Superhero, static shot. 1-0, then you dead. You see, get trapped. In my eyes, I got the power. From the static shower. Criminals, get twisted. This superhero gifted. Bell ring, back in school. Nobody know what I do. Okay, superhero.